When you're in Jerusalem and you stand on the Mount of Olives and look west over the Kidron Valley and over the Temple Mount on Mount Moriah, where you can see the Dome of the Rock, in the skyline behind the Dome of the Rock and the Temple Mount in the city skyline, you can see two gray domes. That is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That is a place of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, and it can be shown fairly clearly that this is the place. Even though it's inside the city walls today, and it was inside the city walls of 70 AD, in 30 AD when Jesus was crucified, it was just outside the city walls of the city of Jerusalem with an abandoned quarry that had been turned into a garden, and it was being carved out of the bedrock, the limestone, soft limestone bedrock graves, tombs were being carved out. You can still see the remains of those today. In the book of Luke, we have a verse that says this. It says, "Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council," meaning the Sanhedrin, "a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from Judea, the town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in a rock, one in which no one had yet been laid." It was his own tomb that he'd been preparing for himself in this garden area. John 19, verses 41 and 42 says, "At the place where Jesus was crucified," that would be on Mount Calvary or the Rock of Calvary, which was part of a quarry that had been abandoned, "at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there." And also in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, it mentions that Jesus was crucified outside the city gate. So when you're looking over the Mount of Olives over the Kidron Valley, over Mount Moriah, and see this two gray domes, we need to understand that this was originally the place where Jesus was crucified, but in 325, Constantine had built a shrine at this place, a magnificent shrine, so magnificent that when 300 years later, when the Muslims came, they tried to build something more magnificent on the Temple Mount itself to outshine Constantine's Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is memorializing this place, and that's where the Dome of the Rock came from. Now, in between 700 and 600 BC, this location was a quarry. It was outside in the Old Testament, outside the city walls of the Old Testament city. And limestone was being quarried and may bring it into the city for building. Eventually, it was exhausted. There's a 40-foot deep quarry, but the part that became Calvary was an abandoned quarry because the stone was no good. It had cracks. It wasn't sufficient for building material. And so the quarry was abandoned. About 500 years later, around 100 BC, that same abandoned quarry was covered up with red-brown soil, topsoil, and it was turned into a garden, but also an orchard with olive trees, fig trees. Crops were planted there for grain, some cereal crops were planted, and some exposed bedrock from that quarry, the limestone, around 30 AD, they have been carving graves in that area. It was outside the city. So it was a great place for graves, and wealthier people could go ahead and carve out some kind of a tomb, some kind of a grave. And what they do, they would have, they'd begin carving. You could carve in these areas, it would be called a coca, which would be a long, narrow strip about the size for a body that a body could be laid in. There'd be some kind of an entryway that would be covered up with a rolling stone or a drop stone, a blocking stone. But you'd go in there, it'd be like an entryway, but also a central area, and have these different cocas, places where bodies be laid, or a burial bench where the body would be laid on. That would be how they'd bury somebody. They'd take a body, they'd wrap it after, they'd bury them the same day they died. They'd close the eyelids, they'd wrap them up, they'd bind them, and then lay them there and cover it with spices to help cover the smell of the decaying, decomposing body. It would lay on a burial bench or in one of these cocas, these narrow burial knot niches, for a year. This way, they'd come back a second time for a second burial where the flesh had been decayed off, and they'd collect the bones and put the bones in an ossuary box. It'd be a box about 2.5 feet long and about a foot tall, a foot wide. They found hundreds of these. Many of them are engraved with the name of the person, maybe where they came from, the name of the father, some family information. In fact, they found one from this time period, and these ossuary boxes were only used historically in Judea between 20 BC and 70 AD. And they have found one. It went through several years of trials and court cases and investigations, but they have found one that says James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. You can see it right on there. It's been verified as authentic after many years of examination. So it fits the right time, 20 BC to 70 AD. James would have died in 66 AD. And so his bones would have been collected in this, and of course the bones are gone. Jerusalem's gone through many revolts and wars since that time period. But this stone ossuary has been found. Nonetheless, the body would be laid on a burial bench in a tomb that had been cut out, like Joseph of Arimathea's, which is close to where Calvary was. And then a year later, they'd come back and take the bones, collect them, put them in an ossuary box, and put it on a shelf or in a niche. Or maybe on the floor, and the burial bench would be used again. These tombs were family tombs. The bones that have been found in these ossuaries, they are related. The people that they've investigated and found them. Caiaphas, the high priest that condemned Jesus, his family tomb has been found, clearly identified. His ossuary has been found with his name on it, his father's name on it. Highly decorated because he was the high priest, and the bones of the people all are part of the family. They can test these, of course. Anyway, that's the way this took place. Now, it was honored apparently as a holy site, this place of Calvary, and where Jesus was buried. His tomb must have been identified and marked. It was in a group. There's many in this area yet today. You can still see the tombs. It was a burial place. But coming with the Jewish wars of 132 to 135 against the Romans, Hadrian defeated the Jews, renamed the city of Jerusalem, or Aliyah Capitolia, renamed the land of Israel in the name of the Philistines, named Philistia, or Palestine, in the name of the Jews' Old Testament enemies that were defeated by the Babylonians and disappeared from history around 500 B.C., but try to eliminate the Jewish culture. But he also went into this place where this is documented, where the Calvary was and Jesus' tomb was, and built a wall around it, and then filled it in with dirt and covered it with paving stones. So he basically built a retaining wall around Calvary, buried it all in dirt, including the tomb, paved it, and put statues of idols of Venus and Jupiter with altars, and it became a place of pagan worship on top of Jesus' tomb. He did this to cut down on Christian worship. He tried to desecrate their holy place. Then in 325, the bishop of Jerusalem at the Nicaea Council with Constantine, by that time he was a Christian, the Christian emperor, first official Christian emperor, Macarius, the bishop of Jerusalem, appealed to Constantine at Nicaea in 325 that this temple, this shrine, be torn down and the burial place and crucifixion site be brought back to the surface, be unburied. And in 326, Constantine's mother goes to Jerusalem and she asks if they will show her where this place is at. And they lead her right to this place, this pagan shrine of the Romans, still functioning with an idol to Venus, an idol to Jupiter, on this temple, or on this pagan shrine, and it is within the city walls. So there's several things to strike against this, because it's inside the city walls at that time. Jesus was crucified outside the city walls, but of course they'd expanded. It was a pagan shrine, completely desecrated, but yet the Christian says it's under there. And so in 326, Constantine gave orders to have this excavated, to have the walls tore down, the walls that Hadrian had put up 200 years before, and they were Herodian stones. They were Herodian stones, most likely brought in from the destruction of the temple and reused here. In fact, some of them still remain in the foundation around the Church of the Holy Sepulchre today. They took all the dirt out, and sure enough, they discovered a graveyard with these tombs cut in limestone, and they identified the tomb of Christ. Now, we don't know how they identified the tomb of Christ, but you would think that it had been marked specifically by the Christians between 30 AD and 135 AD, because after 70 AD, After that destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, the Christians came back and built churches across all of Jerusalem. So it most likely was identified. It had been marked. But nonetheless, Constantine identified the tomb and then began to work on his own project. He built a basilica or a church in front of Calvary, so you could look out of the church in the behind where the speaker would be, and you could see Calvary, the stone. And then behind that, you could see the tomb where Jesus was buried. And he carved away all of the stone, all the other tombs, or a lot of them, exposing just a square standing tomb of Christ, leaving the tomb, the burial bench, all in place, but all the stone was cut away. And over that, he built a very elaborate rotunda, a very elaborate shrine over that, with marble pillars. I've got information. I've got it here. I could read it to you. I don't want to take time to read it to you and slow down. But it's in my Jerusalem book, the quotes from Eusebius, writing, you know, after 325, around 349 AD, writing about all these details. He's got in there the commission that Constantine gave the Eastern Emperor to go ahead and he said, I'll provide the resources to build this. He wants the most elaborate building ever built in the empire, anywhere in the world, so people take notice. And this, of course, became the thing that motivated the Muslims to build the Dome of the Rock to outshine Constantine's building. Anyway, this was done in between 325 and the next 50 years, this Church of the Holy Sepulchre by Constantine was built. Now, in 638, the Persians invade the land, and they destroy all the churches, except the church in Bethlehem, because it had pictures of Persians on it. The men from the east, the wise men that came to visit at the Church of Nativity, you know, when Jesus was born, they had images, and they recognized these as their own culture, so they didn't destroy the church in Bethlehem. It still stands today. But otherwise, Constantine's church was torn down by the Persians in 638. It continued to hold, though, the tomb of Christ was still there in the rock formation that was left by Constantine. The burial bench was still there. But then in the year 1009, the Egyptian Muslim caliph, El-Hakim, the caliph of the Muslims from Egypt, he came in and shattered what was remaining of the stone around the tomb of Christ. So he crushed, destroyed the tomb of Christ. The rubble caved in, of course, and covered up the burial bench. So when the Crusaders came back and conquered the city of Jerusalem, taking it from the Muslims in the year 1099, they removed that rubble and they began to rebuild Constantine's Church of the Holy Sepulchre. What they found was the burial bench was still intact. So they built around that another type of a shrine, an artificial tomb over the burial bench. You can see a form of it today, and it's been reconstructed through the years. It's the tomb of Christ is completely gone. The burial bench remains. But they built a shrine over it, a little bit of a cubicle, a little bit of a house. And then they built what was remaining of the remnant of what was destroyed of Constantine's Church of the Holy Sepulchre using the pillars, the marble pillars. They were much shorter, but they used them again. And they built a rotunda, the Crusaders did, beginning in 1099. It took them about 50 years again to rebuild it. So what you see today is the Crusaders' Church of the Holy Sepulchre over the site of Jesus' resurrection. And those two gray domes that you see today, the smaller one being over Calvary, and the larger one being over the tomb of Christ, is Crusader material. They also have like eight different places there. You can still see Hadrian's stones that have been reused from his retaining wall for his pagan temple. And so when you enter into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre today, when you walk in, you walk into a structure that is a Crusader structure. Immediate to the right are going to be a series of steps that curve going upward. You're going up to see Calvary. It's all, of course, you've got, 2,000 years of building going on in this place. At first, when you look at it, you say, this cannot be the place that Jesus was buried in a garden. But indeed it is. It's just been covered up. And they've got glass cases that you can see the stone of Calvary up above there to the right. They've got two different chapels, the Latin chapel and the Greek chapel up there. And you can actually reach in and touch the stone of Calvary through this glass or through holes that they've got there. But they've got altars there. When you come back down those stairs and you go to the left, as if you'd enter and go to the left, there you can see the little building, the little shrine that covers up the burial bench of Jesus. Now, what you have there today is a marble slab. In that little building, you can enter there, and you can see a marble slab. The marble slab has been cut in half on purpose so that it's not a large, like, 6-foot slab that could be stolen and very valuable. They cut it in half on purpose to prevent people from, stealing it through the years. The last time it was probably placed there was the 1500s. National Geographic sponsored an excavation there in 2016, and they had permission to remove that marble slab in 2016, National Geographic. Not knowing what they found some fill for about a foot, and underneath that, they found another marble slab with a cross in it that had been placed there by the Crusaders. When they moved that, they found the original limestone burial bench from 30, this is National Geographic, from 30 AD, they found the original limestone bench that we've been talking about, that was where Christ was laid, that Constantine honored, and had built and took away the other stone, just keeping the tomb of Christ that had been destroyed and covered up by the El Hakim, the Muslim Caliphate, in 1009 AD. So that is still there. Then they covered it back up, and it remains like that today. Now, when you go further back, if you look at that tomb, the little house covering that burial bench, and you go back further in, you can see the coccus of where they had carved in and had burial places where bodies would be laid, or ossuary boxes would be collected. After the bones were collected, they'd place them in there. Sometimes there'd be 5 or 6 ossuaries with bones placed in like a coca or on some kind of a shelf, and then the stone would be rolled over or a block sealing that area after 4 or 5 or 6 family members were placed in an area, and then a new tomb would be cut. So you can still see those today. If you go back to the right, go down below Calvary, the stone that was not used from the quarry, it still remains, but you can go down below that, 40 feet down, it's called the Chapel of Helena, named after Constantine's mom, but you can still see the quarry stones that have been cut out, or the area that had been cut out. You can still see the overhanging stone that was not used, and you're deep down underneath Calvary, where the quarry at, 600 BC, they're taking stones out. Now, I want to read to you from National Geographic, just so you can hear this. They say the stone slab, the marble slab that they moved off the burial bench, they say had been there since 1555 at least. It says the marble cladding was first removed the night of October 26, 2016, showed only a layer of fill material underneath. Another marble slab with a cross carved in its surface was exposed. This is National Geographic. The original limestone burial bed was revealed intact after that one had been removed. One of the archaeologists doing this excavation says, I'm absolutely amazed. My knees are shaking a little bit because I wasn't expecting this. We can't say 100%, but it appears to be visible proof that the location of the tomb has not shifted through time, meaning 2,000 years. Something that scientists and historians have wondered for decades. So what I've told you it was documented by in 2016 that this, and again, these are historical documents, not fiction. We've got writings handed down through the years from Hadrian through Eusebius. In addition, researchers confirmed the existence of the original limestone cave walls within the 19th century shrine, or that little house that was last updated in the 1800s. Archaeologists have identified more than 1,000 such rock-cut tombs in the area around Jerusalem, and many of them are right there in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I've seen them. I've crawled in them. I've got photos of them. Each one of these family tombs consisted of one or more burial chambers with long niches called cocas cut into the sides of the rock. Archaeologists also documented an ancient limestone quarry. This is National Geographic yet. And all of this information is in my book from 2010. This is National Geographic just confirming that information. They documented an ancient limestone quarry and at least half a dozen other rock-cut tombs, some of which can be seen today, yes. They said, what they show is that, in fact, this area was a Jewish cemetery outside the walls of Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. We may not be absolutely certain that the site, they say, of the Holy Sepulchre Church is the site of Jesus' burial, but we certainly have, they say, no other site that can lay claim nearly as weighty, and we really have no reason to reject the authenticity of this site. National Geographic, they say, there's no other place that this could be. Where you've got the city of Jerusalem, you've got the walls of 30 AD, where could this be? You just can't put it anywhere. It's got to be right here. No other place can lay claim to it, and this is what history records, archaeology records, writings record. And so, in review, what we've got is this situation right here. We've got the western wall of Jerusalem, and then we're going to have some kind of an abandoned quarry right here. And then that abandoned quarry is going to end up having a dirt covering it up and turned into some kind of a garden with trees growing and crops growing in this area. Around 30 AD, they began cutting tombs out over in this part. This is Calvary, and this is the place of the tombs. This is where you got it. And so this is where Jesus would have been crucified on Calvary, and this is where he would have been buried in a tomb cut by Joseph Arimathea, and there's other tombs here. That I can still show you photos of the tombs. What then takes place is in 135 AD, Hadrian comes along, destroys Jerusalem, a Jewish revolt takes place, and he covers this up with a walls built out of limestone, probably the remains of the temple, Herodian stones, fills it in with dirt, paves it with paving stones, and then sets up an idol of Jupiter and an idol of Venus. That was the main one. And there, that's the way it sat for 200 years. The pagans had covered up. They're trying to not just get rid of the Jews, but get rid of Christianity. Then in 325, Macarius, the bishop from Jerusalem, asked Constantine at the Nicene Council, can we tear this thing down? Can we get rid of it? Constantine's mom comes by a year later. They ask, where is this place at? I remember now, the wall by this time has moved far west. And so this is inside the city now. And they say it's right underneath here. It's underneath this pagan shrine inside the city walls. So again, not a very good place to choose from. And so Constantine gave orders, tear these images down, tear these stones down, remove the dirt, and they began to excavate this place. And sure enough, they found, just as they expected, and I can read you, Eusebius is recording it in writing. We've got the writings of it. He recorded, sure enough, they found the stone of Calvary, the abandoned quarry, the 40-foot deep, you know, quarry was here. This was full of graves, and one of the graves was identified. What Constantine does then is he chisels away all the stone, or has his workers chisel away all the stone, so that only thing remains is Jesus' tomb, where the rolling stone would have been right here with the burial bench inside. And then he builds a basilica or a church building. So here to have everybody in here, you're having a church service, but you look right out the front window, you don't have a pond, you don't have some kind of a pretty picture, you don't have light green grass, you got Calvary right here. And behind that, you've got the tomb of Christ. It was the most magnificent. And then he covers this up with a major rotunda, huge marble pillars, building this up with a round top in it. It was magnificent, the most spectacular building they had at the time. Again, the Muslims are going to compete with this, with the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount, which still remains today. This is the way it's going to stay until 638 when the Persians come by. And the Persians are tearing down churches, except the one in Bethlehem, the Church of Nativity. And this church gets ripped out. They tear down the church. They don't mess much with the tomb. They just rip it all down. This whole thing is now gone. The basilica is gone. The rotunda is gone. They've moved on. Of course, the Christians still come. They know this is Calvary. They know this is the tomb of Christ. They still come. But in 1009, El Hakim, the Muslim Caliphate, crushes this into rubble, the tomb of Christ, not the burial bench, but all the rubble falls down and covers up the burial bench. The Crusaders come in, they try to take back Jerusalem because the Muslims are persecuting Christians, tearing down the Christian sites, moving west in the Roman Empire, so now the Crusaders have to come in. They regain Jerusalem, and the first thing they do is move all this rubble out and find the burial bench remaining, and the parts of the Roman Constantine's marble pillars, and they begin to rebuild the best they can do in Crusader time, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And they build over this. They're going to then put another shrine over this. They're going to cover this up with a marble slab that was recorded, that National Geographic uncovered, found a cross in it, and then they build their own little building over the top of that. And then over that, you know, a little building over, like a little tomb over the burial bench. Then they're going to take and cover Calvary up with a dome. That's your first small gray dome. And then they're going to cover this up with a larger, the site of the resurrection. Place the crucifixion, the site of the resurrection. Sometime in the 1500s, they're going to come in and cover this one up with another burial stone. This is the one that I have seen. This is the one the National Geographic moved to see this one. Then they moved to see the original limestone one. National Geographic saw that. So this was here, this was here, and this again is split in two so it doesn't get stolen. And then there's a little building over that, and there is today your Church of the Holy Sepulchre.